Hey, this is Pete Brown. I'm here with Jeff Hanley from RIA Services. How you doing, Jeff?
Good. How about you, Pete?
Good. So, you work on RIA Services?
I do.
What's that like?
The WCF RIA Services has been great. I've been on it for almost 2 years since I joined Microsoft, back when it was called Alexandria. A few people have heard that name. It's been a lot of fun. You know, it's right around Silverlight 2, I guess, is when I started here. So it's been neat seeing the evolution of Silverlight sort of underneath of us.
And I like how you put that. That's good.
Yes. It's been a challenge, kind of aiming for that moving target. And we've also seen the evolution of Visual Studio 2010 underneath us as well. We're built on top of ASP.NET and Silverlight, kind of marry the two together a little bit better for the community compared to the tools they had before. So it's been a lot of fun seeing those products evolve and being able to work on top of them and contribute to the stacks under both of those frameworks.
Very cool. What's your favorite thing about working on RIA Services?
You know, when I came to Microsoft, I had seen a shift in the mindset here, which was that Microsoft was trying to be a little bit more open about things that were being built. And I was a big proponent of that. And I wanted to try to be more open about the products we're building. So I'd say my favorite part about working on RIA Services is that being underneath Brad Abrams, we have been able to be pretty open. He's very community-driven as well. So we can talk about things we're working on. You know, we were pretty quiet until we put our first release out. But as soon as we got our first preview out, you know, we started talking to the community a lot, getting a lot of feedback pretty early on. You know, and I've got Twitter sitting here, and I check on Stack Overflow and the Silverlight forums and, you know, try to keep in contact with the people that are using our product.
It's definitely been one of the more engaged products that I've seen. So before I joined Microsoft, I remember thinking that, you know, the Alexandria stuff, you guys were being really open with the community and, you know, doing a good job working with folks and rolling feedback back in, which is probably the most important part.
And that's something that I really try to push the envelope with a little bit. You know, I put Twit polls out pretty often and try to talk about things in my blog and, you know, and I really ask for feedback on how people are using the product. You know, because we can write specs all day long and we can do our own little app building exercises, but really the best way for us to, you know, build our products is to hear feedback from the community. How you're using it early on, kind of how you expect to be using it, and how we can change the product to better suit your needs.
And as part of the show description here, I'll put your Twitter name as well as your blog URL and stuff there. That's good.
On Twitter, I'm Jeff Handley, J-E-F-F-H-A-N-D-L-E-Y, and I'm also jeffhandley.com. So I'm pretty easy to find.
Pretty easy to figure out.
Yep.
Cool. And I heard you like popcorn.
I did get pranked a while back. We had a party here on campus, and there were dozens of garbage bags full of popcorn left over. And I came back into my office the next day, and most of those bags were in my office. And I had some popcorn sprinkled all over the place in here. And so I chewed on that for a while until it got too stale to even try to consume.
Yeah, so if you're wondering what framework developers live on at Microsoft, it's, what, about 20-gallon bag of popcorn, 40-gallon bag, something like that?
Yeah, about 20-gallon bag of popcorn, and it took about 6 weeks.
Yeah, stale popcorn at that, so great stuff. Hey, so why don't you show me a little bit about some of the validation stuff we were talking about?
Yeah, this is something that a lot of people have been talking about recently. And again, it's one of the things we've been open about. RIA Services is moving to adopt the iNotify data error info interface. Yep. To get rid of the exception-based validation in RIA Services.
And that's iNotify data error info.
Correct. Yeah. iNotify data error info was designed for a couple of purposes. First, it gives a little more context as far as what errors have occurred on the entity than what you've seen before. And it's also developed to be to support asynchronous validation scenarios more easily. It's event-based, so there is an errors changed event and a get errors method. So RIA Services, and I'm going to be talking client stack specifically. This is only for Silverlight. The interface only exists in Silverlight. But on our entity-based class, when we go to validate a property or validate the entity, instead of throwing an exception, we're now going to be raising events for errors changed. And Silverlight text box and other primitive form controls respect that interface. And when those events occur, they turn around and call the get errors method, and we now have a collection of validation errors on the entity that you can pump error or validation results directly into, and we do the work of raising the events for you and handling the get errors calls to feed those error messages back out to the UI.
Right, and just for a little bit of context, so the way this used to work is you were raising exceptions, you said, right?
So for instance, in your property setter, we would check to see if the value was valid for that property, and if it wasn't, we would throw a validation exception and prevent that invalid value from getting set onto the property. Mm-hmm. So now things are different. We're not going to throw that exception. We actually let the property setter succeed.
Yeah.
So that's one of the mindset differences that people are going to have to get used to is, you know, up until this next release with Reuse Services, it was pretty hard to get invalid values into your properties.
Right.
But now it can happen all the time. So you're going to have to account for that. And what you'll see instead is the validation errors collection will have the validation results pumped into that collection, and these events will occur.
I remember a pretty common request early on in Reuse Services was to treat errors more like warnings, you know, allow values that had like the right type but maybe didn't meet some criteria into the object so that you could, you know, allow binding to work and allow everything else and allow the user to correct that, but provide some mechanism of notifying them that, hey, this is not valid, and something that you can verify when you go to try and save it. So it sounds like that's what you've done here at this point.
Pretty much. We don't have, just to clarify in there, there is another concept of trying to support validation warnings, where the user is still able to submit the entity, even though it has these warnings. We don't have a notion of warnings yet. That's something we're trying to look at in the future. But warning in the sense of, you know, execution does continue, and the user can move on to the next field and continue to make changes and come back to the fields and errors. We have moved to that approach.
And from a debugging standpoint, you know, you don't have to skip over exceptions anymore. So
yeah, so a funny anecdote with that too is, you know, obviously we had heard a lot of feedback on, oh my goodness, Visual Studio keeps breaking anytime it throws a validation exception, and debugging is so difficult. So we had two efforts going on. One was to change Visual Studio so that it didn't break on those exceptions by default. You know, you could go into debugging exceptions and go tell it to not break on those exceptions. So we asked Visual Studio 2010 to not break on those exceptions by default, and we actually got that feature into Visual Studio 2010.
Yay!
But then we also had, you know, the Silverlight team working on iNotify data error info, so now we're actually not going to be throwing those exceptions anymore. So it was still great that Visual Studio got that included. On the server side, we don't have the iNotify data error info interface, so we are still throwing exceptions on the server side.
Yeah.
So that's still beneficial there.
Okay. But,
there are a couple of things I did want to talk about with the validation as well, and it kind of ties back into the whole working on the framework
thing. I thought it was going to tie back into popcorn or something. Okay.
It's I worked in the industry for a little over a decade, and you know, built some pretty big customer systems, but you always had the mindset of, 3 years after you implement something, you can come back and change it. And, you know, I'm learning that working on the framework, you don't have that opportunity to do so. And when we created the validation model that we had before, I worked a lot on the data annotations assembly, the system.componentModel.dataAnnotations. There's a validator class that I implemented there, and also worked on validation attribute to support validation context and validation result and whatnot. And kind of want to show you some code here. I'll show you just a real quick sample. This is just an image validator that I created. We're just going to validate an image path in our Silverlight app. And we're just going to check to make sure it's got a ping or JPEG extension.
Yeah.
Let me run this guy. Should I pop up over here on this? Now, that code that you just saw today with the exception-based validation, you'd actually see the glyph pop up there.
Okay.
But when we switched away from the exception-based validation over to the event-based, we don't see this. And, you know, of course, that was filed as a bug.
Yeah.
And I dug into it, and it turns out that when we created this validation result class and worked on validation attribute, we didn't flow through the member name that comes from validation context by default. So what we actually have to do, and this is what a lot of developers are going to have to do with their validation that they've created, is we have to pass in the validation context member name into our validation result.
Okay.
And if we run this again, and we change this over to a GIF, now we see our glyph pop up.
Nice.
So that is something that, you know, And I looked back, and my instinct was to try to go in and fix that bug.
Yeah.
Turns out the bug is actually in our validation attribute class. Is where it would have the opportunity to ensure that member name is specified.
Yeah.
But by the time we found that, we were working on RIA services for our next release, but the change needed to go into both Visual Studio 2010 for actually .NET 4.0 as well as Silverlight 4. And for .NET 4.0, things were already locking down.
Yeah.
So there's no way we would have been able to get this through to like totally reset the product and have to rerun all their tests and everything.
Yeah.
It would have been great for RIA services had we been able to change that behavior so that the default was to pass that member name through. But we couldn't do it in .NET 4, and since we couldn't do it in .NET 4, it wouldn't really make sense to do it in Silverlight 4.
Right.
So now we're going to have to try to find the next opportunity where all the trains are going to kind of be on the same track and be able to make that change without it being a breaking change where it's different on one side than the other. And so it's going to be a nice challenge. And it's, like I said, it's a learning opportunity for me working on a framework. that's totally my bug, and I take full responsibility for it.
You heard it here, folks.
I coded that validation attribute to have that behavior. So that's the challenging part about working on framework is kind of future-proofing your code against behavioral changes. When I wrote that, I never would have expected we'd move away from the exception-based model because that was all that we had available in Silverlight. And now, a couple of years later, we find
framework code never dies.
That's right.
It's there. There is still stuff being used that was introduced in .NET 1.0. So
that's right. And there's actually another little quirk here too, where back to the exception-based model, where we had the mindset of not being able to have invalid property values. The validator class that I mentioned before has a method called validate object, try validate object. And if you tell it to validate an object, the default overload assumes that all properties are going to have valid values. Because in the exception-based model, there wasn't a way to put an invalid value into a property.
Right.
But now we've moved away from those exceptions. We can have invalid values in properties, and the default overload for validate object and try validate object doesn't perform property validation. So it's another one of those situations where, again, we would like to go back and change that default, but we can't.
Cool. So where should folks look to for guidance on the stuff with RIA services? You're posting about it on your blog. I guess Brad has some.
We did get ourselves a nice little landing spot, silverlight.net/RIA services.
Great.
And we do have links on there out to all the team members who have blogs. So anytime I post anything about RIA services or Brad or Depeche or Tim Hewer or even some community folks, we have their blogs aggregated on there as well. So silverlight.net/RIA services is definitely the place to start. And I know Brad has blogged a bunch of things. He's got a 26-part series on getting started with RIA services and looking at it from every angle you can imagine.
I guess, being in the position he was in, he had to code a little bit, so.
Yeah, that's one of the things I really enjoyed about being here on RIA services is that all the way up my management chain, all the way up to Scott Goo, everybody still codes.
Right.
So it's nice. Actually, just this morning I was code reviewing some bug fixes that were filed by Scott Goo. I mean, the bugs were filed by Scott Goo.
I'm guessing that those get a higher priority than bug fixes filed by or reports by Jeff Hanley or somebody like that.
They got addressed pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. High visibility.
Right.
Great. Well, thank you very much for that. And I'm looking forward to seeing this next rev of RIA services here with the iNotify Data Error Info, the world's longest interface name.
That's right.
Thank God for control space, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Pete.
Bye.